Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. Hope you had a good week. We just got back from, last weekend we were in California, my wife and I, helping our son move. He just bought his first place to own, you know? And so we went out there to help him move. And then when we came back on Monday, I think it was Monday, I'm getting old, I kind of forget. But as soon as we got back, I had to move my dad into assisted living. He was in independent living. He had fallen down a number of times, and they said he needs to go to assisted living where he has more care 24/7. And so so then I got to move again, and I found out I'm getting really old because my wife helped me set up the place before my dad got in there, and I was like, my knees are hurting, my back is hurting, everything is hurting, you know? And you say, well, you moved twice, so of course you're hurting. Well, here's the thing, is my son hired a mover. I hired a mover from my dad, so all I really did was pack. And everything hurts. What can you do? You know, as my dad would say, don't get old, but as I tell him, you can't stop the train, you know? Nothing I can do about it. Anyway, today we're going to continue on with this series that we've been doing called Reborn to Walk. This series, this is the third part. The first part and the second part were, you know, months ago, so I don't expect you to remember that, and some of you were not even here, so I'll do a little recap of parts one and two, and then we'll go on to part three. So, let's get started. So in part one, it was called Reborn to Walk, and this was kind of the intro to the series, kind of like, why should we walk with Christ? Why should we walk in Christ? And we took it from Colossians 2:6, where Paul says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So he's saying that, you know, you've been saved because you've believed in Jesus for eternal life. You know, that's a done deal. Okay, but now you should walk in him. See, Paul had a case of what I call FOMO. You probably never heard of it before because I made it up. But if you've probably heard of FOMO. Have you heard of FOMO? So FOMO is F-O-M-O, and it stands for fear of missing out. So it's, let's say your friends decide to go on a trip to Disneyland and they invite you, but oh, I can't get off from work that day. So they're in Disneyland and you're at work, you got FOMO. You're like, this fear of missing out on the great stuff that they're doing, and I'm sitting here working, that's FOMO. FOMO, I put a little Y in there because it's the fear of you missing out. So instead of the fear of me missing out, Paul was afraid that the people, the Colossians, would miss out on something. Now, the Colossian church is probably a church that Paul had never actually been to. So he's writing from Rome, he's imprisoned, and you would think whatever he writes is going to be something very important, something that he wished he could be there to say. And what he says is this, what we just read. As you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. And he explains that, you know, in Christ there are riches of all of God's wisdom and knowledge that you could miss out on if you're not walking in him. And so that's the motivation for us to walk in Christ. This verse actually goes on. He says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Rooted, when you think of rooted, so when he says walk in him, because, you know, we could say, well, I'm walking with Jesus, like you walk with someone, like in the morning, if you walk with someone in the neighborhood, you're walking next to them, but you're still doing your own thing, really, right? You're in control of what you're doing. Walking in Christ is a little different. When you walk in Christ, you're rooted in him. That means you're deeply connected to Christ as you walk. And it says built up in him. So you're deeply connected to Christ and he's building you up. And so you say, okay, walking in Christ, that's what I want to do, right? And with that comes this idea of surrender, because it's not like I'm no longer walking on my own. I'm kind of like a Joey. You know what a Joey is? Like a little kangaroo. Instead of walking next to him, I'm kind of, you know, Joey is in the pouch of the mama, right? So he's in there, his head's popping out, you know, and mama's hopping along, and he can see where he's at, but he has no idea where he's going, you know? Where are we going from here? I don't know. Mom's in control, right? I'm not in control. And I'm close enough that I can hear her heartbeat, and after a while, I kind of understand about who mom is and what she's like and where she's going, and you know, it's like being deeply connected. In the same way with Christ, we kind of know where we are right now, but Lord, I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you because I know you, because I'm deeply connected to you, and I know that what you do is good. And so I want to just go with you and trust you. So that's the idea of walking in Christ. And this idea of surrender leads us to part two, where part two is reborn to surrender. And what we learn is that surrender is a process. Because it's not just, when you think of surrender, you think, okay, I give up. That's surrender. That's just part of it, right? When you actually, if you're in battle and you surrender, you're not just giving up. You're handing over control. You're saying, you know what, I lost. I'm no longer in control. I give up control to you. That is surrender. So it's a process. And what we found when we studied in part two in Romans 11 and 12, where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that word renewing means renovation. And so we use this analogy with Fixer Upper. Many of you watch Fixer Upper, and you know how they renovate the house, and you get Chip and Joanna Gaines, and these guys buy this old, broken-up house, and they see, you know, this house is bad. We need this thing to be renewed. So they say, okay, so you've declared the need, and you said, you know what, it's no good, it needs to be changed. The next thing is what? Inspection. You walk through the house, you go, okay, there's a place that needs some help. That one definitely needs some help, you know. You go through the house. And then the third thing is the demo. They come in and they tear out the old stuff, and then they rebuild the new stuff. This is the process of surrender. In that, you know, you go to God and say, you know, you come before him humbly and say, you know what, my life, it's broken. It needs a lot of help, you know. And so let's do an inspection. In Psalm 139, where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Okay, let's go through my life, Lord. Yeah, I need some help in this area. Yeah, that definitely needs some work, you know. You go through this inspection period, and then God does the demo, you know, where he says he takes out the old self, and he puts on the new self. Demo is taking out the old, and for us, that means giving up our ways, so that God can build some new construction in our life. So that's what part two is about, but we never really explained much detail about that demo and new construction phase, and that's what part three is about. So part three is called Reborn to Cling, and we're going to look at John 15 and also Galatians 5. John 15 tells us a lot, it gives us insight to the demo and new construction phase. So let's go ahead and read the first four verses. Okay, it starts, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So he's giving this analogy of a grapevine, basically, where he says God the Father is the vine dresser, which is kind of like the farmer. He manages the growth of this plant and makes sure it bears fruit, which is grapes. And Jesus saying he is the vine. He's the main trunk. And as we'll see as we read on, we are the branches. So we as believers are the branches that come off of this vine. Okay? So I should address the first part of verse 2, because sometimes someone reads that and go, what? I can lose my salvation? It almost sounds that way. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Does that mean I lose my salvation if I don't bear fruit? So I just want to say that's not what this is saying. because we know this is the book of John. If you read the rest of the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is actually the gospel tract of the Bible. It tells us how to have eternal life. And we already know John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? In John 6:47, it says, you know, he who believes has eternal life. And when he was with Martha, we know that he told Martha, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not perish. And so we know that John says it takes belief to have eternal life. It doesn't say anything about bearing fruit. We never had to bear fruit to get eternal life. We certainly, that has nothing to do with losing it either. We can't lose eternal life once we have it. So that is not what this verse is talking about. Some say, you know, the word takeaway can also mean lift up. I'm not a Bible scholar enough to tell you one way or the other, but all I can say is that this is God either doing discipline or encouragement to help that branch to bear fruit at some point. And that's God's part of it. But what we want to focus on today is our part of it. Okay, which we, if we move on, it also says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And when you prune things, you know, you're kind of cleaning it up, you're kind of cutting off the old stuff, right? The dead branches and the dead pieces that are sticking out, you're cutting and trimming and so that new stuff can grow, right? That's kind of this demo process we're talking about, right? It can be painful when we have to let go of the old stuff. But we need to do that in order for the new stuff to grow, the new construction to take place. The new construction, in this case, is the fruit. The fruit is the things that God produces in us. So let's read on. It says in verse 3 and 4, it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. See, he's talking to believers, isn't he? They're already clean, and now there's something I want you to do. Abide in me, and I in you. This is Jesus talking, right? As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So we see this fruit cannot be born if the branch is not connected to the vine. Right, the branch cannot do this on its own because these are things, the fruit is something that only God can produce in our lives. So then we get to John 15:5, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, you know, like we said before, without this connection, without this deep connection to Christ, we cannot bear fruit. We can only do what we've been doing. We can do things our way. We can't have any of this new construction because that comes from God. And it is not produced if we are not deeply connected, rooted in Christ. So in this verse, it talks about two things. One is abide in me, and the other thing is bear much fruit. So we're going to look at those two things. First, let's talk about abide, and then we'll talk about the fruit. So what does it mean to abide? The word abide actually means stay, remain. You know, if you're like me, you might be a little bit disappointed by this meaning because, you know, it's like, okay, I believe in Jesus. Now I want to walk in Jesus. I'm ready to walk in Jesus, right? So I get my best walking shoes out. You know, I throw away the Nikes. I got Hokas, which are like $200 or something. And, you know, I got my hydro flask full of water. I got my quick dry outfit because I know we're going to be sweating out there on this walk. You know, I am ready, right? I mean, I even got those pills that you throw in the water, it purifies it, you know, you can drink it, and, you know, Jesus, I know, you know, you've actually changed water to wine, and you've parted the sea, but, you know, this is something, just to make purify water. I'm ready, I'm all in. I'm ready to walk. What do you want me to do, Jesus? And he says, stay, remain. I'm ready to, you know, conquer the world. You want me to stay? Okay, well, let's read further. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus now? Okay, remember, walking in Christ means being deeply connected to him. So abiding in him means now staying deeply connected to Jesus. That's our job. And you think, okay, staying is kind of boring. Okay, but I want to show you that staying is actually one of the most challenging things we're going to have to do in our lives as Christians. It's not so boring. It's actually quite difficult. So, did I go to the next? Oh, let's go to the next slide. Yeah, abiding in Jesus is one of the most challenging things that we will do in our lives as believers. So let me explain. So how many of you, let's go to the next slide. I have a picture on this next slide. It's maybe hard to make out. How many of you seen the movie Twister? Any? Yeah, some? You know, I was thinking, it shows my age. I was thinking it's kind of a newer movie. It was actually 96. It was like almost 30 years ago. So anyway, it's a movie about storm chasers, tornado chasers more specifically. And so near the end of the movie, you know, they're chasing these tornadoes so they can study them. And at the end of the movie, they get in a kind of a bind, and they realize that this giant tornado is coming right at them. And so they run into this barn or tow shed, I'm not sure what it was, this building, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? It's heading straight for us. And so they strap themselves, they see a pipe, you know, pipes are deep in the ground there, so they strap themselves in, and they hold on, and the storm comes. The picture you can see sunlight because the building has been swept away, been knocked out. All that's left is them and this pipe, and they're holding on, and their legs are out in the air like this, and this storm is just coming at them. It's craziness. And what are they doing? They're trying to stay. They're trying to remain. They're trying to abide, in that sense. Staying is not an easy thing when there's a storm coming at you. And, you know, in life, we try to stay deeply connected to Jesus, we find that there's so many things that are pulling at us, trying to disconnect us from Christ. You know, whether it be distractions or, you know, it's like when you get that new puppy dog, one of the first things you want to teach them is how to stay, right? Stay, puppy dog, stay. It's really hard because the puppy dog likes to run around. You know, it sees a shiny object. Go over there, you know, a ball of lint. Oh, go over there. Wonder what that tastes like. You know, it's hard to stay. And as Christians, we get distracted very easily. I know I do. On top of that, you know, Satan is trying to disconnect us from Jesus all the time. And just the sin within ourselves is constantly working against this connection with Christ. It's leading us away, leading us to different things. Staying is a very challenging thing. But this is what it takes to bear fruit. Jesus says you can't bear fruit without it. Unless you abide in me, you can't bear fruit. Right? So that's where I get this idea of clinging, because staying is actually like in Twister. Staying is like hanging on for dear life. Because Jesus is the source of growth for us. It is life for us. You know, it's a vital connection. We can't lose it. Gotta hang on, no matter what. Legs flying in the air and everything. You know? It's the only way to stay in Jesus. So let's talk about the fruit. Galatians 5, 22-23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." So we see in 25, it's kind of similar to what Paul was saying. You know what? You already have life in the Spirit. Now let's walk in that Spirit. And the fruit of that Spirit are all these things listed. And, you know, if you're a branch, but you want to disconnect and do your own thing, this is not fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit are things that only God can produce. And you say, well, I can love, I can have find joy and peace, and not the way that God does it. And the more you look into how God does it, the more you realize how far away we are trying to do it on our own. This is not a to-do list. This is fruit that is born by a deep connection to Jesus. So what's the big idea? The big idea is, how can I have a fruitful life? Well, cling to Jesus. There is no other way. It's taken from John 15:4, which we read before. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Like, a branch can't bear fruit unless it's deeply connected to that vine. In the same way, we cannot bear fruit, the things that God produces in our life, they have to be born through a deep connection with Christ. Now, the list that I read, you know, it's not from the same book, but it applies because it is the fruit of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that that's all there is, because certainly God produces many things in our lives. That is, maybe you can look at that as a start, you know? Let's ask God, help me to love the way that you love, because I know when I love, you know, my love is got a lot of, you know, issues with it. Let me just say, you know, I have biases, I have, you know, fears, I have energy issues, I have, you know, fighting my own sin, like I said. My love is not, when I look at how God loves, you know, when I see Jesus and how he goes out of his way to meet this woman at the well just to tell that one person and offer her living water. That's a different kind of love, you know. When I see Jesus walking through the crowd, and out of the whole crowd, he picks out this one guy up in the tree who's a tax collector and everybody hates. And Jesus says, you know what, I want to meet with you at your home, knowing that that would bring honor to him and show him his love for him. And, you know, so how do we do this practically? So, you know, there's no formulas here because this is a relationship with God. There's no formulas. But let me give an example, perhaps. So I, you know, my next quiet time, let's say, that I have just with me and God in my prayer, I think, okay, I need to surrender myself to him, and I need to cling to him and have this deep connection with him if I want to be more like him, if I want to be transformed, you know, like if I want to do a fixer-upper, if I want God to do a fixer-upper on me, I need to surrender, I need to cling. And so now I come before you, God, and you know, let me just think about the first thing in the list on the fruit of the Spirit, love. Like I said, I look at how you love God, and it's so far beyond anything that I think I'm even capable of. I don't even know where to start, but all I can say is, you know, I've got issues. I'm laying it before you, and I need your help. I want you to demo it. I want you to build some new stuff, whatever it takes, but Lord, I'm just here to lay it before your feet. And would you help me to love like you do? And I might look up some scriptures on how God loves and see how he does that and learn from that. And then I go about my day thinking, you know what? Whatever distractions may come today, whatever my circumstances today, my job, what's my number one job? I'm going to cling. I'm going to cling to Jesus. I'm going to keep that connection going. Sometimes we think our first job for Jesus is to go out there and, you know, do God's work, right? All great things, but without the connection, it means nothing. Our main job is keeping connected to Christ. It's clinging to him. Whatever it takes, whatever distractions may come, whatever circumstances may present itself, whatever we read or see on YouTube, whatever I feel, my desires, my fears, whatever, I'm going to cling to Jesus. Because that's the only way. That's the only way I can grow. It's the only way that God can produce what he wants in my life. And so I go about my day, and maybe an opportunity comes out. I can reach out to someone. Well, if you know me, I'm kind of socially awkward. My wife is easily goes out there and meets everybody, as you've probably known by now. I am not like that. I'm like, God, I don't even know how to do that. But you know what? I'm putting away my old self, right? I'm going to follow what you want me to do. I'm going to reach out to somebody. I'll give it a shot, right? So I go, I don't know what to say. Hi, how are you doing, you know? But I listen to them. And then I ask them questions about themselves, and I learn more about them. And at some point I realize I can sense the love that God has for that person. It's not from me, you know. That's not my way of love. It's God's way of love. And I see that God is starting something in my life. He's beginning to bear fruit in my life. And so I think, okay, well, let's do something else. How about joy? you know? So, you know, I work on this love thing for a while, probably for the rest of my life. But let's try something else. Let's try joy, you know? I mean, I think God's joy, and this is my own take on it, but I think it's kind of like the opposite, but similar to a panic attack. You think, what? I was thinking about this. You know, a panic attack, it can come at any time. It has nothing to do with what's going on at the moment. But it's just something deep in your core where you have this fear that all of a sudden presents itself. Like you have this deep down feeling of doom, like something is bad. It's just negative energy, just, you know. And it could be a great circumstance that you're in, but you just suddenly have this feeling. I think joy has a similar thing, but an opposite kind of feeling, you know. It's like no matter what circumstance, it could be the worst circumstances I'm in, but deep down in my core, I feel something positive. I feel hope. I feel joy. I'm not outwardly happy at the moment because of my circumstances, perhaps, but deep down I feel this hope, this joy. Only can come from God, you know? And so, Lord, my joy is based on circumstances. Let's demo that out, you know? Do what you will in my life. But as I get closer and closer to you, as I get to know you more and more each day, I realize something. You got me. You love me. No matter what happens, there's always hope because I know that you love me, that I know that you're going to take care of me. I know that one day I'll be with you in heaven. And there won't be any of these horrible circumstances anymore in my life. And I realize my lifetime is a little blip compared to eternity. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I have this joy deep down I never had before. You know, as we go through this list of fruit of the Spirit and our connection with Christ is closer and closer and deeper and deeper, you know, sometimes we ask, what is the will of God for my life? Those are things that just come when we are deeply connected to Christ. Because he guides us, he leads us. We get to know, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're a little kid and you just want to hang out with your dad all the time because you want to be like him one day. But the more you hang out with him, the more you understand his perspective, his heart, where he's at, the way he responds to things. And it's the same way with God. Being deeply connected with him and clinging on to him through everything, every circumstance, it builds that in us. And it's not just by modeling, but it's also because God actively transforms our life with his power. It doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter what we're doing or how many likes on Facebook we have or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's everything to do with God and our one job, clinging to Jesus and surrendering each day, handing over control and clinging to Christ. So I got one more part in this series that won't come till July, but it's called Reborn to Leap. And sometimes God, we know that God wants us to do that's something that's totally uncomfortable for us. It will take us totally out of our comfort zone. And so we're going to talk about that in the last part. But I want to thank you for being here. I'm going to pray for us, and Wes is not behind me, so I assume that I'm closing. There's a prayer room out to the left, the first room in the cafe out to the left. Someone would love to pray with you there if you need prayer or just to talk. I'll be in the lobby if you want to talk or if you want me to pray for you, or I'd love to hear your story if you want to share that with me. I want to thank you for being here, and let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. And I thank you that with you there is always hope. And we are so grateful for your offer of eternal life. And Lord, we believe in you. And now we want to walk. We thank you that you have made a path for us to grow. And that right now, here in this world that is full of things that are not pleasant. Life is messy here, Lord. But we thank you that you've provided a way where we can always have hope, where we can have joy, where we can love other people through you. Lord, help us to surrender each day, to give up our control to you. Help us to cling to you, no matter what circumstance may come. We want to be close to you. We want to be more like you. We thank you for your love and grace in our lives. Lord, help us to share that with others. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you for being here.